Straight to renewables. Could that be the answer for large parts of Africa still experiencing energy poverty? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Jack Stewart, in for Molly Wood. Less than half the population of Africa can rely on just flicking on a switch for light or heat or cooking. And that also limits technological advances in banking, education, and healthcare. A recent International Energy Agency report says skipping over the fossil fuel-heavy grids that most of the rest of the world relies on and turning straight to solar and microgrids or even wind power has real potential for accelerating development, particularly in Central African countries. Michael Acklin at the University of Pittsburgh researches energy policy, and he says that renewable-first approach can work with some caveats.
I've seen myself attempts to almost helicopter drop solar panels in rural areas. And without any kind of local buy-in, this doesn't work very well. Because one challenge, for instance, is that many people would like ideally to have access to the grid and feel that these smaller systems do not quite provide the kind of services they were hoping for. I think what really needs to happen is a lot of bottom-up involvement from these local communities to tell other people what their needs exactly are so that these can be met the best and most effective way as possible.
In your experience, what is an effective installation on maybe a household or a village or a town level? Just exactly what would that look like?
So these needs vary quite a bit across very different settings. And I think that's precisely why renewable off-grid technologies are potentially so powerful, is we can really use them and tailor them to match what people really can use them for. That's the big difference to the grids, because the grid is this one-size-fits-all type of approach, right? Every house here in the US, for instance, you know, once you're connected, you have about the same type of services that you can use. But there, in some of these countries, it's going to be very helpful to be able to adapt the kind of technology to their financial means. And as a result, you can really make the best use of that without having to go through the high costs imposed by extending the grid.
So obviously, some countries like China that make solar panels see a potential new market here. But are there other global economic gains that we could see by this sort of transition to a different type of electrical infrastructure?
This has really serious consequences on how these families, these villages, how much they can really produce. Think about any kind of business. If you have a small grocery and you want a fridge, you need power. You need artificial lighting to be able to operate after nightfall. So I think what is really going to be the most transformative effect of these technologies can come from allowing places that would otherwise be fairly unproductive from an economic standpoint to suddenly really be able to use their potential and become much more productive that way.
Michael Acklin at the University of Pittsburgh. The IEA report says the continent of Africa could, by 2040, meet the energy demands of an economy that's grown to four times larger than today's, but use just 50% more energy. And now for some related links. The IEA report is worth reading. It says Africa is going to become increasingly influential in shaping global energy trends over the next two decades. And that's because it's undergoing the largest process of urbanization the world's ever seen. The number of people living in Africa's cities will grow by 600 million. That's more than the increase we've seen in China. So the energy demand will grow. Brookings also has some incredible visuals in a report on energy in Africa, which are worth clicking through to. For example, one graph highlights the cost burden of powering a refrigerator for a year as a percentage of GDP per capita. In the US, like France, the UK, and other developed countries, it's basically zero. In Liberia, it's 49%. And really, it's all those Central African countries at the expensive end of that chart. And we just talked about microgrids on Marketplace Tech earlier this month, because there are communities in the US, particularly here in California at the moment, where people are faced with intentional electricity outages to try to reduce the danger of a power line sparking a wildfire. So that's another example of a situation where solar panels and batteries can reduce the reliance on an unreliable grid. You can catch that interview if you missed it, and of course subscribe to our podcast so you never miss another one at marketplacetech.org. I'm Jack Stewart, and that is Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.